We have come to the end of our spiritual retreat. Hopefully, we all have been able to find the decisions that we need to make and to fortify, to make solid those resolutions that we need to practice. There is a tradition, this is my second retreat here, so it seems like there is a tradition that one of the talks I won't have time to prepare. So the last year it was the fourth talk, this year, or rather the previous talk. This year it was this one, but this is our last talk, and I guess I could be a bit more personal and I guess speak from the heart. It is intimidating as a man, because we're at the end of the day, we are weak, we are made of dust. It is intimidating for us to be presented with perfection and the idea of sanctity and the idea of changing our lives. And I assume that most of you are not as weak as I am, but for myself, I know that it is intimidating and I feel overwhelmed at times and say to myself, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can do that. To that, obviously, the devil will help. The devil will try to lie to us and say, you can't. There is, in the scene, in the movie of the Passion, there is the scene where Satan is tempting our Lord. And that is, it's surprising how well portrayed it is. Because Satan starts telling our Lord basically those things. He doesn't know at that moment that he's the Son of God. But he starts telling him, you can't, it's impossible. Their sins are too many. No man can carry that burden. And he says, never, never, ever, never. He starts repeating that. And that's exactly how the devil tempts us. He comes to me and he says, you can't do that. You failed before too many times. You're so weak. You can't. You can't do that because, well, you know how many sins you have in your past life. It's already too ingrained in you. You can't. You can't do that. You're not a saint. You're not that big. You know, you're thinking too much of yourself. God doesn't call you to such high perfections. You can't. But let's put it this way, going back to what I said in the previous talk. Let's say that I can't. I still should try. Let's say that I can't, I still should fight for it. And even if I die being as imperfect as I am, I want to be able to die and tell our Lord, Lord, you know my frailty, you know my misery, you know how many sins I've committed, innumerable sins. But Lord, I can tell you this one thing. To the very last of my breath, I kept getting up, I kept trying to fight, I kept trying to get to you. Yes, I'm the lesser of the saints. Put me in the corner of heaven. That's where I don't even deserve to be there. I'm happy to be there. But at least you know that I always kept coming back to you. And that should be the beginning of our heart, the beginning of our emotions, of our resolutions. It's not about victory. It's not about victory. The victory is given by God. To us pertains the fight. St. Paul has these words in his epistles. He says, incrementum dat Deus. Ego plantavi, Apollo rigavit, incrementum dat Deus. That means, I planted, he watered, the growth God gave. And so if you ask yourself, or you hear those words in your mind, saying, you can't, answer, God can. Incrementum dat Deus. God can do it. Not I, but he with his grace. What was the difference between Judas and Peter? The difference between Judas and Peter is that Judas committed his sin, but then he said, he heard those words of the devil, I can't. There's no more hope for me. There's no way for me. I can't. It's not going to happen. Peter sinned also very grievously, if you think about it. But the big difference is he said, I'll get up. I'll get up again, and I go back again to my Lord. Over and over again it happened. Our Lord rebuked him, called him, you know, basically child of Satan. You know, depart from me, Satan. You don't understand the things of God, but the things of men. And like that, there were many faults in St. Peter's life. But what did he do? Always go back to our Lord. You will not wash my feet. Well, then you won't have part with me. Then wash my feet. Over and over, getting back to our Lord. And then he denies him. How many times? 3 times. And what does he do? Get back to our Lord. Peter, do you love me? Yes. Peter, do you love me? Yes. Peter, do you love me? Yes, sir. You know that I love you. The only difference between Judas and Peter was that Peter said, I'm going to get up again. I'm going to try again. I'm not going to drop my resolutions. I'm not going to drop my good desires. I will continue walking towards our Lord Jesus Christ. How amazing is this? Think about it. Even after he was confirmed in grace, even after he was the head of the apostles, after the coming of the Holy Ghost, we read of another, do you say blunder? You know what I mean? You read of another one where St. Paul had to rebuke St. Peter. St. Paul had to go and say, hey, what you're doing is wrong. Even after that, he kept having faults, but he got up. You read that story of St. Peter at Rome where Nero was burning the Christians, persecution of the Christians, and they say that St. Peter was asked actually by the Catholics to leave the city so that he wouldn't get killed. Another blunder? Yes, okay. You'll correct me later. Another one, at the very end of his life, here he is, the Pope, leaving the Catholic faithful, and our Lord has to come again and say, where are you going? And then St. Peter tells him, St. Peter sees our Lord walking with the cross, and he says, Domine, quo vadis? Lord, where are you going? I'm going to Rome to die on the cross because you are escaping. Once again, go back, get back to the track, and then Peter goes and dies in a heroic death. I can say for myself, I'm the most imperfect among you. The only reason why I'm up here speaking is because that is my vocation. But I speak with the same frailties that you have, with the same difficulties that you have. And just as you are doing the retreat, I'm doing the retreat. And just as you're making resolutions, I'm making resolutions. And we're all getting back from the bottom to try to make it to heaven. But I can tell you this, at least. My idea is that I will not back down. I will not drop them. And if I drop my mental prayer for one day or two while I'm doing a retreat, I'll get back on it. And if I lose my spiritual reading, I'll get back on it. And if I fall on a sin, God forbid, here or there, I'll have to get back on my feet, because the other thing is not an option. To stop fighting is not an option. To give myself to the devil is not an option. There is an enemy that is seeking my soul. This is not just a halfway thing. It's God seeking my soul or the dragon, the devil. And I have no option but to fight against that dragon and to go to God. How many times? It doesn't matter. How many times it bites me? It doesn't matter. The point is that I keep coming back to our Lord. And that is the one thing I would ask of you as you leave this retreat. Make those resolutions. And if by any chance you don't keep them, be uncomfortable perpetually until you get back to them. That is the grace that God has given me, at least, that I always feel that thorn in my side until I get back to what he wants me to do. That is what we seek for. We go, as St. Peter did, just one step at a time, okay? Take one thing, that one resolution, and keep that one. From there, our Lord will come back to you with no spiritual retreat this time and say to you, now this follows. Now this is what you need to do. And you do it. And then he'll say, okay, now you can do more. Now do this. And you do it. That's what we call fidelity to grace. And that's what ultimately leads you to salvation. This leads you to sanctity. All men are called to be heroes. And I know this sounds like a pep talk. It's like, Father, that's a very nice thing to say. But it's not an exaggeration. You know why? Because I'm sure you all agree, we're all called to sanctity, aren't we? But what is the definition of sanctity? The heroic practice of virtue. All of us are called to be heroes because all of us are called to be saints. But that sanctity will come in different ways. It will come in different fights. It will come in different shapes to everyone. There is a phrase in the, it's not in the Bible actually, it's in the office of the apostles. It says, Estote fortes et pugnate com antiquo serpente et accipietis regnum eternum. Be strong and fight against the ancient serpent and you will obtain the eternal kingdom. That's what we read in the Feast of the Apostles. And that's addressed to all of us. Do you not believe me that we're all called to be heroes? Think of what our God is asking of you. He's saying, go and fight not against a man. St. Paul says, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers, our fight. He says that. God is not calling you to fight a man. He's not calling you to fight the Democrats or the Republicans if you're in the other party. He's calling you to fight a dark angel. To fight a person, yes, a being, superior to nature, immensely superior in nature to you. Much more advanced, much more intelligent, much more powerful, much stronger. And God is saying to you, yes, to you, he says, you fight him. That's heroism. But it's not yours. It's the heroism that comes from Christ. Estote fortes et pugnate com antiquo serpente et accipietis regnum eternum. But it's enough with being a little Christian. It's enough with saving my soul. I don't need to do all these things. It's a lie. No, I need to be heroic. I need to be a saint. I need to do mental prayer. I need to do spiritual reading. I need to push as hard as I can for my salvation and the salvation of others. Estote fortes, et pugnate com antiquo serpente, et accipietis regnum eternum. But I cannot overcome this sin. It's a vice that has been going on for so long in my life. It's been years. Well, then, I will go to confession. I will go to confession again and again. I will tell the priest, what should I do? And the priest will tell me, and I will go and do it. Whatever he says, leave this relationship, leave this job, do whatever, I will do it. I will go to communion every day. I will do penance. And if I fall again, I will get up again. Estote fortes, et pugnate com antiquo serpente, et accipietis regnum eternum. Be strong and fight with the ancient serpent. But I cannot obtain virtue. I've been fighting against my anger for so long. I'm not pure. I'm not chaste. I'm not obedient. I'm not pious. I don't feel a desire to pray. Well, then I will force myself to pray. And I will come here to Mass, and even if I feel like I'm burning inside with the desire to go somewhere else, I will be here and fight against the devil. Estote fortes et pugnate com antiquo serpente. Be strong and fight with the ancient serpent. I cannot reach my family. It's my son, my daughter, my sister, my wife. I've talked to them so many times, they don't listen. I have to give up. It's useless. It's impossible. No. I will keep fighting until when? Until I die. And I will keep praying for them, and I will keep sacrificing for them. And if they don't receive it, someone else will. But I will look at Saint Monica, who fought for so many years for her son. I will look at all these saints that fought for their families. Estote fortes et pugnate con antiquo serpente et accipietis regnum eternum. Be therefore strong and fight with the ancient serpent. But I'm alone. I'm alone in this. I don't have a wife, I don't have a husband, I don't have a brother, a sister, a child that helps me. Even the priest doesn't help me. When I go to Father, he's so busy. He doesn't talk to me, he doesn't give me direction. Well, I will go then to the Blessed Sacrament, and most important, I will go to the captain of the army, the captain of our army, the Virgin Mary, who steps on the head of the serpent. I'm not alone, I have a mother. And let me pause here very briefly. This is another part that is essential for all of us, especially as we leave this retreat. Go and set your sword, as St. Ignatius did, set your sword at the altar of the Virgin Mary and said, I am your soldier. I'm here to fight for you and under your care and your guidance. Puñate con antico serpiente. She steps on the head of the serpent. She is our commander. She is our chief. She is the one that leads us into battle. Have a strong and heartfelt devotion to the Virgin Mary, because I'll tell you what, and I tell you this from experience, no matter how bad your sins might be, no matter how horrible your abuses of grace might be, no matter how many times you have ignored God and you have trampled upon the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only one, the one that will ever always get you out, is the Mother of God. Here is the reason why. Because she knows that you were bought with the blood of her Son. When she looks at you, she doesn't see a sinner. She sees something that was bought with the price of the crucifixion of her Son. And so I assure you, I promise you, no matter what, she will always try to rescue your soul to the very, very end. And if your soul is falling to the pits of hell and you have 100,000 devils grabbing you from one foot and you are just one step away of eternal damnation, the Virgin Mary would descend to that bottomless pit and grab you at the very door of it and pull you out and break their chains and squash them and crush their heads. Because you were worth the blood of her Son. And so, if you don't find that strength, and you find yourself alone, and you don't know how to fight that serpent, go to the one that crushes its head. In my life, she has always been the one that rescued me, even in spite of all my failings and shortcomings. There's many personal stories, but I could not say them here. You will see that especially in two devotions. One is the devotion to the Blessed Scapular. That is your coat of arms. That is what says that you are a member of the Army of Mary. And the other one is the Most Holy Rosary, which we should all pray every day, no matter what. As we leave this retreat, I've been yelling at you very much. I always enjoy it. That's why I like to come. As we leave this retreat, it's most important also as men to exercise cheerfulness and hope. I can't believe I didn't touch this topic, but it's so important. One of the things that troubles men the most in these days is depression and sadness. And you know why that happens? Because society, led by the devil, has crushed us and made us feel embarrassed of being men and made us feel little and unworthy of respect. And men feed from respect, if you haven't noticed. That's the one thing that really lifts you up. Even your family, in your house, that's the one thing that you really need. Even more than love, I would say, because for us, respect is the way in which we see love. Don't let the devil, don't let the world or the flesh put you down. Our Lord Jesus Christ raises you up as a man to the cross, that's true, but he raises you up and he says, stand up, fight, have hope. I've called you to great things. I've called you to beautiful things. I have great hopes, great aspirations in you. I expect to make of you what? Another me. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ says. Look at what higher calling he gives you. He says, I want you to be, as St. Paul says, that Christ lives in me. I want you to be another Christ. And so, yes, get up, have hopes, and be cheerful about your life. Sadness is another temptation. So, men, I would bid you to always have great hope and always stand up and keep moving forward. Don't let anyone or anything bring those aspirations down. I'm not saying not to be humble. What I'm saying is precisely through humility, unite yourself to our Lord Jesus Christ, unite yourself to God, and there you will find a realization and true happiness. But above all, then, fight this feeling of being lessened as if your vocation was very little. We leave this retreat then, and I would ask you then to have that great hope and keep those resolutions, and the more that you practice them, don't let them go. An advice that I gave to some of the men was, go to your parish priest or someone that is a friend of yours and say to them, I have these resolutions. Keep tabs on me. 1 month from now, 2 weeks from now, see how I'm doing. And then from then, move forward. If God didn't want to give you these graces, you would not be here. But if God called you to this retreat, and he put this little monkey with holy orders, but he put this person here to give you this knowledge, to tell you these things, was so that you would use it and he would give you those graces. Imagine how great it will be when at the moment of your death, you go and you meet our Lord Jesus Christ, and he says to you, you are a true man. You lived for me. You knew me. You suffered with me. You were humble with me. You were poor in spirit with me. You knew my mother. You loved my mother with me. You loved my father with me. You were destroyed by the world, slandered by the world. You cried. You hungered for thirst, for justice. You kept all those things that I promised. And so now you come and stand by my side because you and I, we are united. We are part of the same. You know who I am and what I went through. That is what you're being called to do. I leave you then with these words and this recommendation again. Stick very strongly to the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. Next to her, the devil will not touch you. He will not be able to overcome. Even if at times you fall, she will pull you back. But stick very, very close to her. And this one last thing to end. I think this talk will go over already. Pray for one another. How many men are there here? 50, I'd say. 50, 60. Make that resolution too. We're going to leave, and we're going to say one Hail Mary, one Our Father, you choose, for all the men that were here with us. And all of us, let us bring these things out also to the world and for others. All of us to fight for our salvation, all of us to fight, as the saying says, against that ancient serpent, that we may reach the eternal kingdom. As we finish today then, I will go back to the conference room right now to finish with those men that haven't finished. There's supposed to be a question and answer, but I think what I'll do is I'll go to the conference room first, finish that, those visits, and then we can do the question and answer during dinner, if that's okay, or a little bit after dinner. I think that might be easier to do. I thank you all for your patience and your humility in listening to our talks. And I also ask you, as you pray for one another, that you pray for me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.